D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick, 102.5. The Game, Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, and David Janes here with you, as well as Predators GM Barry Trotz. Predators are back in action tonight against the Edmonton Oilers to wrap up this homestand. Puck drop at 7, pregame at 6, right here on 102.5 The Game. Barry, it's good to see you in the flesh. It's been a while. How are you?
I'm good. I was just working my way from unthawing from the winter in Manitoba and the World Juniors in Minnesota. So it's all good. All good. We had our scouts meetings this week, which was very, very productive and give us really a glimpse into what's in the draft and on the pro side, trying to figure out this craziness on the, you know, the trade deadline coming up in, you know, a couple months here.
So you came up a little bit early, so you sort of got a preview of our conversation. But as I was mentioning to Willie and Derek, the next three games, home against Edmonton, at Colorado, at Vegas, are against opponents that the Predators likely would face in the first round of the playoffs. I know that's months away. But as you consider your options on what to do between now and the trade deadline, how much weight do you place on how your team matches up against these teams coming up on your schedule?
You look at it. It's not going to have a whole lot of impact one way or the other. You know, if you do end up making the playoffs, that's who you have to play. So, but you look at it. I know where we stand. I think I'm really realistic in where we stand in it with our team. So our plan is one thing, and I don't think it's going to change. We've talked numerous times about it, so I don't think it's going to change.
During this stretch of 15 wins and 23 games, we talked about this last week, the Predators have allowed the first goal 18 times in those 23 games. Now, not all of those first goals against happened in the first period or in the first minute, but what must change at the start of games to reverse this trend?
It's weird. I say we have to lead the league in giving up the goal in the first minute, and definitely the first goal of the teams. And it's hard in this league. If you give up the first goal, it's hard to win the hockey game. So a big credit goes to the guys. I just think, you know, just finding a way to manage the game early. I mean, the first couple shifts, it sometimes gets in your head a little bit. Hey, we got to get through the first shift, the first 5 minutes, that type of thing. Sometimes it just happens. You got to start on time, as coaches would say. So it's just making sure that all the details, all the simple plays. I mean, when I coach, do you want to get started game by putting the puck deep? So, and hopefully getting a little pressure on the team's defense, because what you want to do is establish that, okay, let's get them a little nervous early. And sometimes when you play a little bit slow, or you look to sort of play a possession game, it sometimes backfires. You get a counter on you and it ends up in the back of your net. So I think keeping it simple and smart with a really good sort of short, get the legs moving mentality, let's get through the first, first two rotations in the lineup, and then see if we can go from there, build off of something. So I think our team has done trying to do that, but it's hard when you start the game and you know the people aren't in their seats and they're already down one. But it's a credit to the players; they stay in it, and we've been able to get wins out of the whole process. I'm going to change subjects on you though.
Okay.
I don't want to forget this, and I thought our the other night against the Washington Capitals was really special, and I got to be present at both these. We saw maybe the two greatest goal scorers sort of in this sort of era score from their house.
Yes.
If
yes.
you will.
Wasn't that something?
From their house. Yeah. And I've been, I was thinking, I was there when Ovi scored his 600 and 700th. I'm here with Stammer scoring his 600. And for fans or just a hockey, you're in a hockey nerd, that was a pretty special moment.
Yes.
And I always look at those, and I didn't want our fans or anybody to realize, maybe they didn't realize that how special a moment that was, because that might be the last time you see Alex Ovechkin play. I don't know if he's going to retire or if he's going to play another year, but if he retires, your last visual of Alex Ovechkin from the house scoring a goal, and at the same time you got to see Steven Stamkos get his 600th. What a great memory that would be.
We did the math. They have played 55 games against each other, and
They've scored in the same game 10 times. That's pretty cool. I don't know what I would have guessed with all of that, but that is something that was pretty special for somebody who just happened to be going to the game that night.
Yeah, and that's sort of the things that sometimes we miss in the wins and losses. You know, we're always critical. I'm critical. We're always critical about, you know, why didn't we do this? Why didn't we do that? Or, you know, why didn't this player do this? You know, and sometimes we forget those real good moments involved in all that. So I just want to say that because I thought it was a real special moment. Didn't want it to go by our fans and for anybody who was at that game, because that was a moment that not too many people on the planet would get to see.
I'm sure you've lost count of how many power play goals off the one-timer that Alex Ovechkin has scored from the left circle in your shared history. I know you had high hopes for Fedor Svechkov this season. Speaking of the Capitals, he played under 9 minutes against Washington. He's got 1 point in his past 14 games. You're attempting to develop young players while also staying competitive, which is tricky.
It's very tricky.
So what's the best course of action for Fedor Svechkov in your mind right now?
Well, I think, you know, everything's on the option right now. You know, just so everybody's clear, and a lot of people won't know this, this is Olympic year. So players that are on your roster for X amount of days, players that are on your roster for the 16 games before the Olympic break, which he would right now would be qualifying for that, you can't send them down at a certain point. And I think it's the 20th. So if you do send them down, you can't use them for basically the whole Olympic break and I think we probably have like seven or eight games. So those are things that you have to think about. The usage of Svech, and I know when you're trying to get back into it like Bruno is, and I give the coaches a lot of credit, and I give the players a lot of credit. Like I'm watching Steven Stamkos, you know, he scored the big goal, but he's playing a little differently. He's determined. And then Yossi in the lineup, and I mean, how many games has Saros stole in this in this run that we've sort of had, you know, where we're, and same with the Big Juice as well.
At least 7 or 8, I think.
Yeah, Lonergan's got 2. I think Saros has 5 during the stretch.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you know, those are things that there's guys that are pulling the, all on the rope and getting it done. And, you know, there's times when Bruno wants to get, you know, Svech on the, you want to get Svech some more ice time, and you call his lineup, and sure as heck we ice the puck, or we take a penalty, and then all of a sudden he loses that, or you know, now you can't use him because, you know, Svech's face-offs aren't where they need to be to maybe start in the D zone in a tight game right now on a consistent basis, or maybe it's, you know, he's killing penalties, but he's on that secondary group where, you know, you're not taking the face off. Usually it's Mac or Holla or Factor taking the face off because they're much better at it. And he comes out as a secondary group. So you could get hemmed in sometimes and you can't get off. And then, you know, or we get a save. Now we get another face off. Now Svech loses another shift. So that's the tricky thing with trying to develop on the fly. Sometimes you got to throw caution to the wind, but you know, you're putting games at risk. And I know as a coach, the players will look at you sideways if you're going, you know, in a one-goal game and we got 3 guys that are really, really good in the face-off circle and you're going to, you know, throw Svech in that situation in a close game. They're going to give you the eyeball. So I understand all that. But that's where the veteran guys and the coaching staff have to, you know, keep reminding me he's a good player and it's, you're going to have to work at that craft, and he is. There's not a doubt that Fedor puts everything into his craft, but becoming a master of it, sometimes it doesn't take, you can't do it overnight. So it is a tricky business for the coaches and for management as well, because it's tough for evaluation.
The other side of the coin, I'm wondering, it's no secret that we've talked about it as a theme, the center depth all around the league is tough, and so he's probably benefiting from being a center and trying to push through it. What is there a plus side for if he can get through the tough times, right, the adversity, and come out the other side, he could be that much better for it.
Absolutely. I don't think, you know, unfortunately in society, you're seeing that. I really think we set some bad examples in hockey right now, and I'm saying at different levels, is the kids, you know, don't get the ice time now. They want to go somewhere else, or they want to change teams. You know, you're coming out of, junior and you're going to university. The first thing that comes in, well, what are you going to give me? Well, how about a really good education first, rather than, you know, who am I playing with or how much you're going to pay me and all that. If I don't like it, I can just leave. Those are the things that the next generation might not get to do till they get here, because there is, that's one of the things that I can tell you. I don't know any good hockey player that didn't have any adversity. And by Federer having adversity that he's got to fight through, the only way he'll get better is he's going to fight through it. And knowing Federer, I mean, there's times when, you know, the young player is going to get down on his doubt
confidence,
himself.
Yeah.
You just got to pump him up. And then, you know, as each year goes by, he'll find out he's a little bit better, even though he doesn't realize, as long as he keeps the you know, eye on the prize, if you will. You know, how are you going to get better next year? Like, he's a better penalty killer than he was last year. He's better on the faceoffs than he was last year, but it's not quite good enough yet. You know, offensively, you know, how, you know, right now he's a little snake bit, and there's a couple chances he's had. You're like, couldn't happen to at a worse time for a young player for confidence. You know, the you know, things like that are happening, and so that's where the doubt comes in. But staying positive, knowing that he's part of the long-term plan is probably the best thing that he can have. And then, you know, encouragement, I'll go down there. I know at times when Federer's getting, I'll go down there and he'll, like, avoid me. Because he's saying, if I come and talk to Trotsky, he calls me into his office, then there's a good chance, because I don't need waivers, I could be in Milwaukee. No, I'm going to go down there and give him a hug and say, hey, we believe in you. Just do what you do. Trust yourself. Trust your instincts. Play. You never question his effort. The effort's always there. So you just got to try to pump him up. And you can't hand someone confidence. They just got to work through it and grow with it and learn from it. And he will.
I want to ask you about an article that Pierre LeBrun wrote. You went through a similar stage last year, just maybe less players involved because it was the four nations and not the entire Olympics. But the dilemma that some teams have, maybe my season slipping away, I got to push to try to make a deal before the Olympic break because I need the guy for more games, as opposed to waiting to see what happens in the tournament, see who gets banged up, see what happens, and then have that, I don't know, 5 or 7 day frenzy that it's going to be either way. So how do you try to gauge as that goes on?
As a green general manager who's never been through the Olympic break, like I actually have talked to, you know, some of the veteran general managers, like you know, Army and St. Louis and you know, Stan Bowman and people like that, as they come through, you know, how they thought the Olympic break would happen. I've started this process way before Christmas even. Because I thought there'd be a little bit of a bump up right after Christmas, and that was sort of what usually happens. Right after that 26th, there's always a little bit of a frenzy, and then things settle in, and then you're sort of at the trade deadline. That didn't happen. Everybody, I think, was probably wondering if their phones were working, because it was really quiet. And then I thought there would be a bump up somewhere in this time frame where some teams would be going, you know, I can get a player for another 10, you know, roughly 10 or 12 games, depending where you are in terms of your schedule, to get a player in, help our team, help our chances. I think just everybody's jammed up right now because they're not sure if they're in or out. If you talk to, in just my conversations, this is not league-wide, just in the few conversations I've had with other teams, you know, they're not sure if they're in or they're out. If they do, right now they said, well, I don't know if maybe I'll just, you know, I'm not willing to do the, you know, the high-end stuff because we don't know if we're in or out. And so, but they do want to do something, but probably on a little smaller scale, if you will, right now. I think once they can determine if they're in or out, then you'll, you know, maybe there's a big deal or there's a, there was more emphasis on it. But right now, I think everybody's just sort of trying to get the market.
It's complicated.
It is. This is the weirdest. You talk to anybody that's been in the league any length of time, they're like, this is sort of insane. You win three or four games and you pass four or five teams.
Right, because it's so bunched up.
And you know, it's really weird. It's great for the game because every game is very important. If you want to watch the look at the standings and see some movement, this is the year to watch the standings because there is movement. I mean, you look at what Buffalo's done. They've gone on a real tremendous run. We've probably did it a little different where we've sort of got back into the fray by, you know, just win the week. Just chip away at it. Don't, you know, you're not going to get it in one big chunk. So let's just play well and play hard every night and be consistent and we'll chip away at it. And I give our players a ton of credit because there was lots of noise and around our team in every area.
I think you were right in saying that it was not a toxic locker room, right? That was the thing. I know they got a burr in your saddle there, and they've certainly proven that that's a pretty tight-knit group there.
It is. And that you know me, Willie, I'm pretty easy going for the most part. But when something angers me, I can't hold it back. And that was one that angered me because I know that was that wasn't truth. That was rumor, and that's...
It came out right before the Detroit game that... started
the whole
things
thing.
Tipping back the other way. Yeah.
And I think that's something, you know, there's so many rumors out there. I mean, you just look at what happened the other day, and I feel so sorry for the players in this league sometimes when you saw what happened in Ottawa. Mm-hmm. That shouldn't happen. And that happened to us. That happened with our locker room. Well, that person wasn't in our locker room. That person doesn't know that. You know, those are, unless you're in the room, you don't know. So, unfortunately, that's part of the business and the world we live in. And all teams are suffering, I think, from it at certain points. And we had our moment earlier in the year.
I want to ask you in the category that you just brought up before, the historic. You see Stamkos and Ovechkin score. Somebody might be coming to the game tonight that maybe has never seen Connor McDavid. We just, you know, the more stats you look, and he's on a particularly hot streak right now, and let's hope things go well for the Predators tonight. But when you just evaluate him as a player, you saw Gretzky. Your first year was Gretzky's last year in the league, I think. Yeah. You've seen a lot of greats. Where is McDavid?
Well, I always say that, you know, someone asked me who's the greatest player of all time, and I keep saying, The greatest player of all time has not even been born yet because it's evolution. And I would say I could say in each era, these players, the Gretzky's, Lemieux's, they're the greatest players. But in this era, and because we are where we are right now, Connor McDavid's going to be the greatest player you'll see. And I can confidently say that because no one skates like him. No one's producing at the rate he is. And he's just, if you're just a casual person coming, never seen a hockey game, you've come from, you know, a really warm country down south, and you've never seen a hockey game, and you came to the game tonight, it would take you about 10 seconds to figure out who the best player on the ice is. And that is greatness. And he has it. So I would say he's the greatest player. And at some point he will get passed because there will be someone better than Connor. And that's hard to believe, but I just believe in evolution. And I believe that the best players are just getting better and better and better. They'll be bigger, faster, stronger, more productive, whatever. They just find a way.
Before we let you go, Barry, The Athletic had a story today ranking the top NHL players and prospects under the age of 23. I think there were roughly 140 players on the list. The Predators had 8 players on that list. Igor Surin was the number one Predators player on that list. Yep. He was somewhere in the mid-30s. the top players on the list are the ones you would expect. Macklin, Celebrini, yeah. Connor Bedard, Matthew Schaefer. I know you, I've asked you this before. I know that you don't want to bottom out. So how do you go about finding players who would be at the top of that kind of list otherwise?
Well, let's the season play out. You know, you have the best chance in the. You look at historically those top five picks all the time. That's where you get those players. You still get some prominent, real prominent top players. Past that, you get Hall of Famers. You get those type of players. It's going to rely on scouting. You're going to rely on a number of picks. Trying to move up in the draft as fast as you can. And when you get one of those guys and I look at San Jose, I could say, you know, probably fairly confidently that we have as many prospects in the cupboard as before they hit on Celebrini, like a lot. We've been sort of trying to stay competitive and build a really good base. I think we've done a really good job of that. The center ice position is premium for us. But if you can get an accelerator, you look at Macklin Celebrini. He's an accelerating. He's a game changer. And you saw it in Chicago. And this is a glimpse into the future. Is you look at Chicago, and they've been at this for a couple of years. They're ahead of us. They've been picking those top five picks. They got a first pick for a few years here, so they're naturally going to be ahead of them. It's going to be hard to catch them unless we hit on some of those picks. As I said, we're going to get younger and younger as we go along here. We're going to have to develop our kids, some of them in the National Hockey League, and it's not an easy jump. I look at, you know, that 23, 24. And a player usually finds himself, and you're seeing that in Luke Evangelista this year. I think he's 24, I believe, turning this year. He's now just starting to scratch that potential. So we've got some of those guys that I think can hit, you know, but, you know, Riker Lee's, you know, look at last year's draft, Riker Lee and Martin, they're probably going to get here sooner, but they're not going to have that big as much impact until they're a little bit older. Celebrini special, he's going to have impact almost.
Yeah, he's that rare guy, right?
A rare guy. I mean, he's the closest thing I've seen since Sid Crosby type of thing, a complete type of player, can make plays, just pulls the team along. So we have to get one of those accelerators. I think, like I said, we're a destination for any free agent. I don't think that's a problem. We have great ownership. We've got great management in terms of the people. You got trainers. I think we do a lot of things extremely well. And it's a great city to live in, and we're committed to winning. But we may have to, you know, slow but sure go through some of these growing pains and allow these young guys to continue to grow. I mean, you got to love what Schaefer can do at a young age. You got to love with, what Brady Martin did at the. You're looking into the future. So, we at some point here are going to just we're going to have some good nights and bad nights. It's just where we are. But right now we're, you know, Saros is being Juicy Saros and winning games. And I think there's something to be said, and I'll go back. I keep jumping around on this interview today, but it was funny. The Washington Capitals were a team that we were saying, hey, they threaded the needle. Mm-hmm. The one thing that they did, and Tom Wilson's Willie, they had the dad strip, which is pretty common here. Edmonton's having their dad strip.
Got a lot of dads going through. And a lot of dads and moms coming
through. And it's Connor McDavid's birthday today.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of things going for us. But, you know, the one thing that I looked at all through this process, and also, you know, talking, I talked with Willie, and I said, you guys have done a great job threading the needle, you know, and he goes, yeah, but you know what? He goes, you know, me and Carly and those guys, we have to take a bigger piece, and it was tough. You know, we got O's always going to be there. You know, he's going to get his 40 and all that. But he goes, you know, it was really tough for us to keep that. We felt like if we would have moved too many pieces, a couple more pieces, we wouldn't have been able to hold it together. And then once you lose that winning ways, which Washington has done a really good job of, then it's really hard to get back because you don't know what it feels like. And maybe that's part of the magic of it, is that you want to feel like you can win every night. And I think that's really what he was saying, is you got to have that feeling you have a chance to win every night. And when you do, you never lose it. But when you lose it, it's really hard to get back. Mm-hmm. And so that's
the trade-off.
That's the trade-off. Mm-hmm. And I think you can look around at different, you know, paths that teams have taken. There's some truth to it. And but if you get an accelerator, everything changes. It just does.
Yes. Barry Trotz has been our guest on D-Mace, Vengan and Donick. He joins us every Tuesday during hockey season. Barry, as always, a pleasure to chat. Enjoy the game tonight.
Yeah, absolutely. I just want to make one comment. I know that D-Mace is a high roller. There's no way that he's got the chocolates from the hotel that are about $18. So he's a high roller.
That he is. Barry, great to see you.
10,000 yards receiving. You know, that's what you do. That's what you get. You get the $18 candy.
615-737-1025. We'll take your reaction to our conversation with Barry here, and we'll continue the conversation coming up next. 615-737-1025. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vengan, 1025 The Game. D-Mace, Vengan, and Donick, 1025 The Game. Derek Mason, Adam Vengan here with you inside Bridgestone Arena. Willie Donick off to get ready for the broadcast tonight on FanDuel Sports Network. You can also hear the game between the Predators and the Oilers right here on 1025 The Game pregame with Max Herz at the top of the hour. An update quickly, Derek,
yes,
on our Mike Tomlin story. Mm-hmm. He is not expected to coach elsewhere in 2026, sources told ESPN's Adam Schefter. So Mike Tomlin reportedly taking the year off from coaching.
Hey, I did. Rightfully so. It seems like this was his decision. So Pittsburgh seems as if they wanted to keep him or at least allow him to finish out his contract. And, you know, he's told him that he needs a break and he's going to step down. So at least for this season, I think you'll see him on ESPN or one of these stations.
I think he'll be great on television.
Yeah, of course.
I think he'll be great on TV.
And then I think he will coach again. It may be a year or two, but I think he will coach again.
I saw something that when Mike Tomlin first became Steelers head coach, it was 5 months before the first iPhone came out.
Oh, wow.
That's how long it's been.
What was that, 2002?
Well, 19 years, so it would have been 2006.
Yeah, 2006. Man.
Yes, it's been.
I think I was looking through my stuff, and I think it wasn't the iPod because I got an old iPod, but it was an old iPhone. It was about this big. It may have been my daughter's because it was so small. Mm-hmm. They're one of the original ones. It was like a block.
I will say this. There was nothing more satisfying to spin the wheel on the iPod, the old iPod. It felt so good, and the clicking noise it made. Like that. Oh, it was so good. It was so good.
Those were the days.
Yes. By the way, I mentioned Marcus Freeman earlier. Uh-huh. He is expected to remain the head coach at Notre Dame despite interest from several NFL teams, also according to Adam Schefter. So yeah. I mentioned Marcus Freeman as a dark horse candidate for the Steelers job. It appears he is staying in school. But following up on our conversation with Barry Trotz, I need to defend my honor, Derek Mason.
Go ahead.
So I saw a post on social media. It was someone aggregating a report from Pierre LeBrun, who is TSN's chief insider, one of TSN's chief insiders, much like Elliot Freeman, our friend Elliot Freeman, is at Sportsnet. And Pierre LeBrun went on a radio station in Canada talking about the St. Louis Blues, who are 4 points behind the Predators in the standings. And I didn't hear the interview. I just saw what was posted. And it said this: Pierre LeBrun, on the Blues. Quote, I've been told by other teams that GM Doug Armstrong has said, I don't care if we make the playoffs or not. We're not beating Colorado in the first round, so I'm still listening on all these guys. And I saw that, and I posted it and said, CC Barry Trotz, because I feel the same way. And again, Barry Trotz has said it nearly every week right here with us, that despite the winning ways, it does not appear that he is going to deviate too far from his plan. Now, I've also said, talk to me in a month and a half from now if the Predators are still in the mix right before the NHL trade deadline. Things could change. And someone on social media accused me of having a loser mentality. And I'm going to defend my honor.
Please do.
Right now. I've been called a loser many times in my life, mostly by women. So I'm going to defend my honor right now.
I think we all have heard
so
that from
this,
women.
This person on social media accused me of having a loser mentality because this person would much rather watch the team try to win. And look, I want the Predators to win too. It's good for business. I like watching a winning product. Who doesn't? But you heard Barry Trotz say it with us when talking about Macklin Celebrini. I love the term he used, accelerator. A player such as Macklin Celebrini is an accelerator. He can take a rebuilding team and put you quickly on the path back to contention. Again, I maintain the only way the Predators are going to find that type of player, maybe not the only way, but most likely the only way, is to take that step back. I referenced an article written on The Athletic today. It was a ranking of all of the NHL players and prospects under the age of 23. And the players at the top of the list are the players you would expect. Macklin Celebrini in San Jose, Connor Bedard in Chicago, Matthew Schaefer in New York, Leo Carlson in Anaheim. And all of those guys were top picks. Schaefer, Celebrini, and Bedard were number one picks. I think Leo Carlson was second or third in his draft year. The Predators had eight players on the list, none higher than Igor Surin at roughly 34 or 35. And I understand what Barry Trotz is saying, that having those players, Igor Surin, Brady Martin, Riker Lee, Cam Reed, Reed Schaefer, so on and so forth, those players help build you back up, but they are not accelerators. They are not going to be the type of players who drag this team back to winning playoff series again. So you can call me or tell me I am having a loser's mentality by saying that I would much rather the Predators take that step back, even though they're playing better, even though they could make the playoffs. I still think it's more important for them to take a step back just because I think this fan base, Derek, is mature enough to handle a rebuild, an actual rebuild. I do think this fan base is mature enough.
No.
You don't think it's mature enough?
There's no fan base that is mature. So this is not a Nashville Predator problem. There is no fan base in America that is
mature.
No fan base is mature. They start off mature. But then if you're not winning by year two or three, that maturity becomes immaturity. There's no fan base that is mature out there.
I mean, I would somewhat disagree with that. That was a compliment, by the way, to Predators fans.
I'm not dissing Predators fans. I'm just saying all fan bases, and I'm a fan. What fan base is mature about their team when you're talking about rebuilding? There's none at all. Because to them, rebuilding means, well, you're just going to have a bad 1 year. The next year after that is going to be the year where we start winning. What you're talking about is year one, we ain't winning. Year two, we ain't winning. Year three, we ain't winning. Year four, five, and six, that's when we may start to win.
If done right, it doesn't have to take 8 to 10 years for this to work. But I just wanted to defend my honor because someone basically called me a loser.
And you defended it well.
And I may be a lot of things, but a loser is not at the top of the list. It's somewhere on the list, but it's not at the top.
A loser, I am not.
Yes.
You're not a loser.
Yes.
Okay. Is it because you naming off these, the accelerators.
Yes, yes.
Do you not believe, like, the process that the Predators are trying to go through? Is it that you don't believe in that, and you don't believe in some of these younger guys that are in the minors?
I do think that.
Or do you think they just need one guy that he needs to hit, and then the rest of them, we'll worry about that later?
I think it's more of the latter. Uh-huh. I do think that they have depth in their prospect pool. Mm-hmm. I think Brady Martin could be a good player. Ryker Lee could be a good player. I think they can be contributors, but I don't think any of them are accelerators.
Okay.
And I think they need that one guy. The problem is it's incredibly hard to find that one guy without picking at the top of the draft. 615-737-1025. We'll take your reaction to me defending my honor. I see some texts in here saying loser. I hope you're not calling me a loser. We will take that reaction, wrap up the show coming up next. Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 102.5 The Game. D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick, 102.5 The Game. Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you live inside Bridgestone Arena. Fans are filing in. The Predators' homestand concludes tonight against birthday boy Connor McDavid and the Edmonton Oilers. Puck drop at 7 pregame with Max Herz coming up at the top of the hour. One texter says, we call you losers. We call you losers, you call us immature. Seems like a healthy relationship.
Exactly. It's a great relationship.
One texter says, you either win or you learn. No way you could be a loser. Who is this, Chris Sanders?
Maybe the Titans should hire him.
Yeah, they maybe interview Chris.
Hey, guys, we're all winners here.
Yes, we are all winners here. Okay. Jerry says, I will not call you a loser. Thank you, Jerry.
Thank you.
I will say highly unrealistic. We recently had a chance to get a top 1, 2, or 3 pick and didn't get it because of the structure of the NHL. We could absolutely be the worst team in the league 2 or 3 years in a row and not get one of those high-level players that you're talking about, and we would still stink. So I don't think that this is very confusing. Basically what Jerry is saying, and I've heard what other people have said. In the NHL, there is a draft lottery.
Exactly.
So even if you are the worst team in the league, you are not guaranteed to have the number one pick. The Predators, if I remember right, had the third best odds and fell down to 5th in the draft order. But you have to be in that position to potentially get one of those players. I understand the risk. You could be the worst team in the league. You could have the best odds to have the number one pick, and you don't get the number one pick. But you're still in position to grab one of those potential accelerators. And the further you go down in the draft order, the fewer accelerators there are. That's just how these drafts work. I know that there are exceptions. Roman Josi could be considered an accelerator early in his career. He was a second-round pick. Mm-hmm. I know that those players exist not only at the top of the draft, but historically, that's what tends to happen. Let's see here. One texter, Jeff, says, Adam, how can you not see the rebuild that is already happening? Josi, Forsberg, and Saros are the only leftovers that weren't still developing, and that is simply about having someone familiar to cheer for. Rebuild started with Ekholm and has not stalled for 1 second. The UFAs and trade pickups are all new, whether you consider them hits or misses or feel indifferent about. Here's one thing I will give the Predators credit for. In signing all of the players they did in free agency last summer, Stamkos, Shea, Marchessault, they did not spend a single asset other than money. Uh-huh. They have not mortgaged any draft picks or any top prospects to bring in those players. Those assets are still in the organization. When I see this team, and I think its ceiling is what you are witnessing right now, as a bubble team that could sneak into the playoffs as the first or second wild card, and you're facing Edmonton, or you're facing Vegas, or you're facing Colorado, and you're losing in the first round most likely, and you're picking in the middle of the first round, probably out of the range of finding one of those accelerators.
So they would have to, in your theory, to justify it, they would have to get past the first round.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
To justify
they're
winning. Say if they go on a winning streak now and barely make it in, they're last team in.
Yeah.
They would have to win a series in the playoffs in order for that to be justified to you?
For me, yes. Okay. Okay. For me, it also depends on what they do or don't do on I just saw a text from Matt. If you've seen Adam in his Blue Devils headband and jersey stretching and doing calisthenics before grabbing his thimble and rolling to go first in Monopoly, no way you'd call him a loser. I don't have any Duke headbands.
Hey, that's somebody that listens to the show. They know we were talking about Monopoly pieces
yes.
the other day.
Yes, thank
everything.
You for being a thank devoted you. Listener, Matt. Thank now you, I've Matt. Lost my train of thought. Here's my point. Predators fans, I want what's best for you, okay? I covered this team for more than 7 years. I got to know a lot of you. Most of you I like. Some of you I can do without. But by and large, you're wonderful people. And I want what's best for you. And I want you to watch a winning product, a team that can legitimately win the Stanley Cup. And this team, over the past few years, has not been in that category. And I'm just concerned that if they don't make a somewhat drastic change, that what you're watching right now is what you're going to continue to watch. And you know what? That may be okay with some of you. You want to watch a team that wins. I get it. Who had fun coming to games last year with how many losses the Predators have? It's a wonderful atmosphere. We know that the experience here is second to none, the fan experience. But I want more than that for all of you. I want you to watch a team that can legitimately challenge for the Stanley Cup. And that's why I think that step back is necessary. The Predators did that when Barry Trotz first came in. They traded Ekholm, who will be on the ice for the other team tonight, and Niederreiter and Granlund and Janot. But then they were a bit ahead of schedule, maybe. They had the great point streak. They made the playoffs against Vancouver. Barry signed Steven Stamkos and everybody else. I think maybe thinking they could compete sooner than they actually could. And we saw what happened last year, which I think was a blessing in disguise because you did get one of those top picks. And we'll see what happens to Brady Martin.
Hey, but
my point
is get in.
My point. Well,
get in, man.
That's
and
not
anything
enough.
Can happen.
No.
Get in and anything
that's
can happen.
That's a fallacy.
No, it's not.
That's a fallacy.
It's sports, man.
Okay. My point is, Predators fans, I care about you. I care about you, and I want what's best for you as I punctuate all of my points with this inflatable guitar. Sponsored by Dr. Pepper. It's been good. I'm like wagging it at all of the people who are walking by. But that's not it. But that's all.
They're going to come after you with pitchforks, Adam.
No.
Because you're sending this. You're going to say this team needs to do a whole rebuild. And just say if they do it and the rebuild's going too long. You know who they're going to come after then?
Me?
Adam.
No. I don't want that. I don't want pitchforks.
No, but listen. I get what you're saying. Like, hockey is unlike the sport that I'm familiar with.
Yes.
Whereas if you lose, you know exactly, like, there's no lottery. They go by your records, and then if it's tied.
Right. The Titans had the worst record last year, so they got the number one pick.
Yes. And then you can see it an instant improvement.
Yes. Now, and you're going to see Cam Ward the next season versus some of these prospects you may not see for a while.
Absolutely. And that's because the NFL doesn't have a farm league.
Right.
So I get what you're saying.
Bring back NFL Europe.
Hey, listen, we need a guy that can come in and play like today.
Yes.
We get that part. But on the flip side is, what if, why should I, as a organization, if my team's winning, why should I try to, you know, circumvent that as the season's going? Barry has said it. Yeah, he's not going to cut himself off from making moves. But, hey, if this team's doing well and they're winning, it makes it hard to then trade away guys.
I hear it. I hear what you're saying. I get it. But I'm just hoping for more. I'm hoping for more than a potential first-round playoff series against one of the best teams in the league. I want more for all of you. It's like I'm a politician right now. I'm stumping for you. I care about you. I'm your candidate. Vote Adam Vinken. I don't know. Anyway, I think that's a good stopping point. That'll do it for us today. Predators and Oilers coming up at 7 o'clock. Max Herz is here. He's got his body armor, alkaline water, whatever.
High maintenance.
High maintenance Herz. He's living up to the name with this fancy schmancy water he's got here.
Look at him tapping his watch. Let's go.
Okay, we'll be back tomorrow at 3 o'clock. We'll react to the game against the Oilers. We'll continue our conversation on the Titans coaching search. Jonathan Hutt will join us. We'll have so much fun, and we'll start at 3 o'clock.
Be love, love on your people. Have a safe, blessed, and wonderful day. I love you. The team loves you. You hear that music. Don't you forget about us, because we definitely will not forget about you. See you tomorrow at 3 p.m. on 102.5 The Game. Peace.